Just for like a short message before we're finished here. I have thoughts in my heart about people who do suffer in this life. And sometimes the suffering is because of how they live, because of the way they think and the way they talk, and they get into trouble and they suffer. I do believe that if I sin and I have a habit of sinning in my life, my sin nature, my habits with my tongue, with my attitude, with my activity, then I reap what I sow in some measure, not equally punitively. I never could ever pay for my sin. It's not punitive. It is simply, in Romans 1, the wrath of God that is on the human race because of sin. And a Christian learns this with doctrine, and in his local assembly, we learn grace and the Spirit. We learn faith, and we stop doing things because we have a new birth, a inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. I also believe that there are some Christians that die early because of the sin that they live in. And that's 1 Corinthians 11, 28 to 31. That's very powerful thought and truth. And of course, we could become introspective, but if God would mark my iniquity, who could stand? God does not look at us like that. He pities us as children in Psalm 103. He remembers our frame, that we are dust. He is merciful to us. Years, I believe Christians could live in sinful ways of life in their flesh for decades, and God gives them life. He gives them maybe long life. It's His business. But there is enough warning in the Bible for us to realize that I could poison my life. Poison my life by what is in my poisonous heart, with my poisonous words, my hatred, my revenge. I remember counseling somebody and they had this revenge, and they executed the revenge on their enemy, and they would relive the revenge, the hate, and they would relive the hate and the revenge that they took out on their enemy, and it was like delicious to them. They would feed on it. They loved the idea of revenge and hurting another person that hurt them. I got back at them. I relive it every once in a while, and I love to do that. That's a sin nature of man that produces death. My sin will always produce some kind of death in my life. Even ulcers, high blood pressure, maybe some cancer, disease, maybe some relational problem with people. You become a miserable person by sin. Like, sin is not my friend. And I need the new birth, the gift of grace and the Spirit in us. So I want to point out the scripture to you. It's Ephesians 4, and in the principle is here. It would take time to go through it, but you put off the old man, verse 22. you put off the old man that loves the revenge, loves the pornography, loves the lying, loves the cheating. He lives in pride. He is the old man. You put him off. How could I put him off? Because of the new birth. So you are born again. Now the Holy Spirit provokes, fills us. He leads us in faith. And we have the healing power of Christ in our life every day. That's what renews your mind. You have the presence of God, the fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is our new life. Do you know that last night with all the crowds and we had the drone and we had the people and then, you know, you had the tent and I was thinking, do you know how many rock concerts there are that would love to have a little bit of what we have? Do you know how many carnivals and events that people create to try to get people together to be happy and have a good time? And the alcohol, the beer is flowing and the people are there. And you know how much what we did without any beer and without any hatred? And listen to this. Our target is not to have a good time. That's not our target. Our target is to glorify God because we have a new nature. And when we glorify God, we end up having a good time. How'd you get the good time? God. God did that. God did it. God is in our presence. And people are attracted to it, especially people who have the new nature that are thirsty for life, thirsty for love, thirsty for goodness, thirsty for God. In that, there is healing. So, how did we get this? It was God that gave it to us. For he gave us his Son. And in giving us his son, he gave us everything. Everything we really need, what we don't know what it is. Everything that we really look for, but we don't know what that is. Everything that is good for us. Everything that has eternal value. He gave us everything in his Son. We have all spiritual blessings in him. And this is where our deep satisfaction comes from in our healing. But listen, I don't think you just get healed once in a while, like in a meeting or once in a while. I believe we live in the nature and the spirit of the living God in whom there is no death. In him is light, no darkness at all. God cannot die. He's a living God. And that life is in us, and it is the revitalization of our physical body. It restores our soul. It renews our mind. It motivates us and comes like a river out of our belly. This he spoke of, the Holy Spirit. So here it goes. Look at it with me. It's a very good warning. It's similar to what I said there in the beginning. It says, verse 25. 24, put on the new man. Put him on. So you take your pajamas off in the morning and you put on your street clothes. You put off your clothes, you put on your bathing suit, you put on. It's the same idea of getting dressed. It's the same idea. You put off the old, you put on the new. Verse 25, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Verse 26, be angry. The new man, Jesus was angry in Mark 3:5. The new man, you got to have some anger in you. You know, a Quaker said regarding another man, he said, the problem I got with that guy, he's not angry enough. he's not angry enough. There's something not right about him. He doesn't have any anger. Doesn't have any anger. Very good point. The new man, he's righteous. What will he be angry about? He'll be angry about unrighteousness. Right? A righteous man, Jesus Christ, what will he be angry about? The hypocrisy, the unrighteousness, the cheating, the adultery, all that stuff. How about the dirty jokes at work? You laugh at them? You don't laugh at them. You're a righteous man. You got the new man. You have the mind of Christ. And you say, you might go, ha, ha, ha. I know you're telling that joke because, like, you want to be, like, I think maybe you have good intentions, but it's not a good joke. That's not a good joke. Let me tell you a good one and be ready to give one. Go to the next verse, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Say that to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, how many times have I got to tell you to don't give any place to the devil? Go ahead. Well, it's the end of the week. I know you ran out of gas, so all right, let's move on. What does it mean? My mother told me one time out in the countryside not to go swimming. So I wanted to go, so I put my swimming suit in my pack. And so I go out the house, and she sees that. Why do you have a bathing suit? I don't think I have a bathing suit. Okay. All right, so what was I doing? Making a provision, right? You make a provision just in case, right? You cannot make any provision. Many times you cut it off way back here. It's not going to happen. There's no provision. I'm not making any plan, no plan A, no plan B, no plan C. It's not going to happen. I don't have a bathing suit. My mom said not to go swimming. I'm not going swimming. You know, that idea, okay? I'm not making a provision. I'm not doing it. Because the new man, this is the nature of Christ in us. And we learn who we hang out with. So we make no provision for the enemy. Who I'm going to listen to. I want to be careful what I hear. Mark 4. How I hear. Luke 8. I don't want any provision for the devil. Do you know that you're going to have to be turning the TV off more and more nowadays? Turn to your neighbor and tell them. Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. You don't have any guts. You cannot turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. Throw the phone away. Throw the phone away. Now, how many have heard Pastor Shabelli's story about destroying his iPad with a baseball bat? How many have heard that story? Well, he did it. Didn't you do that, Pastor? Because something came up on that screen that shouldn't have come up. And that iPad was destroyed. Isn't that true, Pastor? And let's tell him right now, just point your finger at him and say, never do that again. Never do that again. What? He could do it again. Okay. Let's finish. Don't get played. Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. This list, 29, 30, 31, 32, I think I've got to make that list come alive. It's the most incredible list. It's where you, when I said the man relives revenge, it was sweet revenge. And he's in the corner, like looking out the window. He's thinking about it, daydreaming about how he got back at the guy. He destroyed him. He had pleasure in it. Why? He was not spirit-filled. Was he a Christian? Yes, he's a Christian. But that's how he lives. He has a flesh, a lust pattern that's never been dealt with at the cross. He has never discovered the amazing, or maybe he has, but he's not living in it. The amazing blessing of giving. Some people think all the time how they can steal money or how they can cheat somebody. They haven't found out how much fun it is to give. The joy of holiness, the joy of giving, the joy of helping somebody, the joy of like looking at a situation and not saying, how can I steal, but looking at something and thinking, how can I bless it? I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed woman. How about this pornography issue? Like, you can't look at a person and think of them other than they have a soul, they have a future, they have a family, they are to be honored. They are somebody's child. They are a valuable human being. I want to respect that. I would like Jesus Christ in my heart and in my spirit, in my life. For in this way of living, there is been a lot of blessing. But I'm afraid, just to repeat it, that things, bad things happen in my body and in my soul because of my sin. I think people, Christians, suffer because they are not living in how they can live. I should say, I hate what I did. I hate what I did. I hurt another person. I should love them as I love myself. More, I should love them as Jesus loves them. I should think of the church like this way. The church, what a great, great group of people that have been saved by Christ, purchased by his blood, and bless them. And when you think of another church, you say, bless them, God. And when you think of somebody, a family, you say, bless them, God. And somebody who's has some difficulty, bless them, God. I believe in giving mercy, you get mercy. In blessing, you get blessed. In forgiving, you are forgiven. I believe if we live in that new nature, then there is a filling. There are new words. There's a new attitude. And there is healing. And healing on many levels. And somebody could say, why aren't you ever depressed? I don't know why. Maybe it's just because of the way I'm thinking and how I'm living. I don't know. It doesn't happen to be a problem. And here's the thing. Somebody's not depressed. Somebody else is. But this person isn't arrogant about it, doesn't compare. He's not thinking like he just wants. He's thinking, oh, if you only knew what God has for you. If you only knew how much you have, if you could only start walking step by step in faith, you find yourself encouraged, loved, healed, creative, free, worshiping, loving children, loving teenagers, loving people. Now, no craziness, just the Holy Spirit using you and healing you and blessing you. The Church of God is a place where people get healing on many levels. And one of them is to understand to stop sinning and repent and come before God with my stuff and say, here it is, and heal me and cleanse me and fill me and satisfy me. And praise to you, Lord, for that. Okay? Start this garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's a great thought. Okay, would you pray with me? So we finish here. Lord, the finished work to us means authority and power in our victory. It's not just a theological statement of fact. It's truth applicable in everyday life. He is for us and not against us. He has redeemed us. He has forgiven us. He fills us. Thank you for this assembly tonight and this precious meeting. And much healing, God, much healing happening amongst us. Not just tonight, but in the weeks and months and years to come. Bring healing to your people. We will see people coming from churches that are closed and coming in and listening. And we ask that nurturing them with their own Bible, in their own life, and you speaking to each one, and them willing to make a step and trust you and live a new life, a new way, with loving the brethren, forgiving many, many times many people, and trusting you in every area of life. Yes, Lord, that's what we want until you return. In Jesus' name. And anyone listening, and maybe on the internet, you haven't come to Jesus yet, come tonight. Come to Jesus as you are. Trust and believe in him. In his name, please. You must be born again and do. And this will happen to you. It's not what you do, it's what he has done, and you are believing. Amen.